Hey everybody, it is Vegas Vince with Barter Arbitrage 2.0, and this is going to be a badass short audio, and everybody needs to pay attention to this. And I'm actually going to direct this to a lot of the critics, cynics, and naysayers out there, the linear thinkers, those of you who I call pipe smokers, and I pray to God you don't buy this product. Some of you I can turn. I don't mind people that are curious and you know, want to understand, but those who just flat out set their ways and just don't think things can happen because they're so linear, I don't even want you to buy this product because you're a serial refunder anyway and you're going to waste my time. But for the rest of you who have a little open mind, I want to explain to you, because it's a fair question to ask, how is it like on the show like Barter Kings? And I'm going to talk about the show a little bit tonight, briefly, about just one particular deal. How is it that they're able to start off with like a $100 item and end up with a $10,000 speedboat? How was that kid who I talked about in the last post prior to this one able to turn a Nokia cell phone or whatever the hell it was into a Porsche? Well, we know what it is. It's called trading up. But what, the critics, cynics, and naysayers, it just defies their logic, and they either think it's staged or rigged, and they don't get it. Those of you who have an open mind to just want to know how it works because you're genuinely curious, this is for you. There's also going to be a little bonus in here right at the end about drug dealers and storage auctions. And the reason I'm even bringing up storage auctions is because I know a lot of you people into barter or interested in barter are also interested in storage unit auctions, and I have a pretty little cool tip about storage auctions and how you can oftentimes, let's just say, score some pretty good finds. We'll get to that in a minute. I was checking out Barter Kings, and again, it's a show. It's on A&E. It usually runs on Tuesday nights. The new season starts, I think, October 13th, but you guys can catch it on YouTube. Basically, I'm going to just explain to you a little bit about how these, you know, trade-ups work and why they work. Because, again, the problem with barter, and I go through this heavy in the course of the first couple audios, rather, is this notion that it's like the cash world. It's not. It's a completely different universe. It's not run by the same rules. And unfortunately, 99.9% of you live your life in the cash world. So these are new concepts for you. And again, if you have an open mind, I have no problem explaining how this works. Those of you just flat out refuse to grasp it, again, you're probably not listening anyway. All right, and this one particular trade, they started off with a small item, and they got it up to a $2,000 puppy, an actual puppy. And I can't remember the breed of the puppy, but, man, I got a cat, but I would have loved this dog. But it was a purebred, and it was very, very, you know, it was an expensive, I mean, $2,000 for a puppy. I mean, it was an expensive puppy. But, again, they started off very low, and they got this puppy. Their objective going in was to score this $10,000 speedboat. And the guy said, well, I'll consider taking a vintage tractor if you can find one. So their goal was basically to get traded up and then try to find somebody with the tractor, in which, by the way, this particular vintage type of tractor is not something you just find every day. Well, the puppy's value was worth about $2,000. Now, they actually located a gentleman, and he was an old man, and he appeared to be single, and the positioning on this was so great. He had a 1953 vintage tractor that ran, was completely restored, it was beautiful. It was valued at about $5,000. They made the trade. Now, a lot of people are saying, how in the hell is that possible? Why would someone trade a $2,000 puppy and hand over a $5,000 vintage tractor? Well, when you really look at the show and you examine the positioning, you'll realize you start asking questions and you realize that a lot of the success of barter deals, boils down to desire and actual timing. The dog was right there. The tractor was right there. There's, you know, and what I took out of this trade, which was really, really kind of cool, was this old man was real lonely. He said he had owned an exact dog just like this puppy was, and it left a hole in his heart when it died. It was actually pretty touching. And the fact of the matter is, when that dog was in his hand, he's licking him in the face. And at that point, this old man who's probably 70, 75 years old, I don't even think he used the tractor, and I think he made a point of that. It wasn't even an issue. I mean, he even said, well, I know my tractor's worth more, but, you know, I've had a hole in my heart. These dogs become like part of your family. Now that he's gone, you know, this, you know, and this was the exact same dog, except it was the puppy. And that's my point. It was a deal where he got instant gratification for something. Yes, it was more valuable, I guess, in terms of monetary value, but not to him in terms of his desire. And that's, you know, it's a difficult concept to explain, but that puppy filled the hole in his heart, and he didn't have a problem doing the trade. Now, you know, these are concepts that we will delve into the course, because I'm going to teach you about compliance dialogue. Compliance dialogue is the way you approach people. As I've said in other audios on my show, business owners and everybody else like me, we buffer telemarketers and everybody else. Anybody that sounds like a salesperson, we buffer you out of our lives. We don't want to talk to you. And there's a way to position yourself correctly, and there's a way to position yourself where you put a big friggin' stamp on your head that says, I'm a salesman. And I'm going to get into that, and I'm going to have all of you, you know, at a point where you're going to be able to understand that in barter, it's basically just figuring out what someone needs right then. And oftentimes, and many times, it's the difference in price doesn't matter. For instance, a bachelor who's got maybe a big bear mount, but all of a sudden he's in love. He's getting married, and he knows, you know, Susie ain't going to want that big bear mounting. And it may be worth $10,000, but he's ready to buy the diamond ring. And so in that particular instance, he's not going to have a big issue trading a $10,000 stuffed Kodiak Grizzly for a $5,000 diamond ring. Why? Because he really knows he needs to get it out of there anyway. He also knows that if he puts it on the market, you know, it could take months or weeks or years for the thing to sell, and it's so much simpler because you show up and there's the ring, let's do the trade. It alleviates him of a problem, and he doesn't, it's something he was going to get rid of anyway. So when people ask me how these overtrades work, it's not always based on math. It's based on desire, if that makes sense. Now, getting back to the trade with the puppy, now that the gentlemen on Barter Kings have this $5,000 vintage tractor, they go up and they attempt to trade it for the $10,000 speedboat. Now, they already knew ahead of time this guy was looking for a vintage tractor, and they're not easy to find in this condition. But his boat was actually valued at about $10,000. And he hemmed and hawed a little bit, and then the question came, well, Joe, or whatever his name was, how often do you use the boat? Well, we haven't used it in a year and a half. And I can also tell you something else. Boats are like white elephants. You buy one, good, you know, go on Craigslist in Florida, see how many boats are for sale. So this particular vintage tractor, which isn't exactly just rolling off the assembly line, was exactly what he wanted. And despite the fact that his boat was worth more money, it would have required him, even if he sold it, he might not have even got close to that. But say he had decided to sell it, God knows how long it would have taken. And he wanted this tractor. And when you want something and you've got something that you're not using, I mean, that was a real good line I heard over and over. I got what I wanted, and I got rid of something I wasn't really using anyway. See, in that case, the price isn't that big a deal to people anymore because you're doing the deal right on the spot. This is how these guys on Barter Kings do it. And again, there's positioning, there's certain questions you ask, there's ways you frame something. You don't come in and say, oh, by the way, would you trade your $5,000 widget for my $2,000 widget? I mean, that's just stupid. There's ways to figure out what people want, and every situation is different. Like I said, a bachelor is about to get married. That changes the whole reality of the situation. He's got to buy the diamond ring now. What is he going to do with that? You know, and, you know, he's got some guy thing in there that might be worth twice as much as the $5,000 ring, but he knows he's got to get rid of it because they're going to have a wife and probably a kid. And it just, it's often timing, it's desire, and it takes care of a problem, and it is a solution. So when people come to me and say it doesn't make sense logically that people trade up, they don't get it. Another example, a lady had a stun gun or taser gun that was worth like $1,000. She traded it for a $400 trampoline. They traded up, rather. They traded a trampoline for the $1,000 taser. Well, yeah, logically it doesn't make sense because it's worth more. But the deal was they set it up. The kids are jumping on it. She's scared to death. Her kids are playing cops and robbers that one of them is going to get this taser and taser the other kid. It was all done right there. It worked. You know, it worked for her. Because, again, what's your alternative? You put it up, you try to sell it, you got to wait, maybe it sells, maybe you get some strokes, maybe, you know, you don't ever know. This was a done deal. It, you know, they set the trampoline up. She could see the instant value. She's got three kids. They're jumping in the thing, you know, for 3 hours. For a mom, that's perfect. Set it up in the backyard. She didn't really want that taser. It then became a done deal. And again, a lot of this is just finding out and asking questions and being a little curious and figuring things out. Like I said, that $2,000 puppy was far more valuable to that old man in terms of filling the void in his life than that vintage tractor was. And you guys got to start understanding that. We're going to discuss a lot about how you do compliance dialogue because it's not hard. And in one audio, I can show you guys how to talk to people. Words are so, so powerful. And there's a right way and a wrong way to approach things. And if you get your words right, you'll triple the amount of deals you can do. Because I know a lot of you, that's where you're going to get hung up. We're going to go over it. One last thing, storage room auctions. If you do them, and I'm not a pro at it, I have done them, and by the way, if you do them, oftentimes you can get some great items to start doing your trading up with. So oftentimes that's a great starting point for those of you who want to, you know, you get a cheap locker and you can find some stuff that, A, you can either maybe unload on eBay, or B, better yet, leverage up, start trading up. I'm going to tell you a little sneaky trick, and I learned this from a guy named Glenn, and I'll post his information in the course, but he's a badass when it comes to storage auctions. But I actually tweaked what he does with a little trick I learned, and he talks about the fact that drug dealers in almost every metropolitan city, it was a little more common back in the day, but trust me, drug dealers store their shit in storage lockers all the time. And I'm not just talking and saying they're drugs. I'm talking about all the spoils of the money they've made. I know Glenn has scored one locker that 100 pair of brand new Air Jordan Nikes. The clothes. I mean, he's got it down to a science where he can actually look in there and spot exactly the type of guy this was. He could tell you if he was a wholesaler or a high-level dealer or whatever. Oftentimes, there will be cash. Now, I'm not an attorney, but I can tell you exactly what he says, and that is do not ever turn the cash into the police because you will never get it back. When you buy it, a storage room auction, take everything out of there. Now, I can tell you this. When they do storage room auctions in my town, and I believe they do it, I think this is legal for almost every state, they post the locker number. You got to look in your classifieds, by the way. They post the locker number, and they post the name of the person. In my little city and state, I've got a little website called pokesheriffs.org or whatever the hell it is. I can go and I always check the names. If you find out a person that didn't pay their storage room auction is currently incarcerated for a narcotics charge, I would show up to that auction. Because, and I'm not talking if they're just some, you know, if they're in there for, you know, a traffic ticket, but if they're in there for possession of 10 pounds of blow or 30 pounds of green or whatever, and again, I'm not trying to offend anybody here. This is just capitalism and business. You're not doing anything illegal here. But I'm telling you, run their name. Almost every city and state you can do this in. I can here in my county. I can find out exactly if that person's in jail. I've only done this once, and the particular locker that we purchased was for $450, and I can tell you that the amount of clothes and various other things that we got out of there, no, we didn't find drugs, and no, I didn't find the sack of money, but the quality of stuff was so high that I can tell you that this person would have never in a million years not paid his fee, except for the fact that he was doing 4 years. And a lot of these people don't have family, or a lot of these people just forget. Once you're in jail, you're really, you know, at that point, you're really not thinking too much about your storage locker. So I'm just letting people know that little trick. When they do have these, run these names and find out. But that's just a side thing. The only reason I bring up the storage auctions is because you can, if you know, those of you who do it, whether you use that trick or you just do it, you know, on a regular basis, it's a great way to start bartering. A lot of these items you can use to trade up. And I want you guys to think back when somebody says, how would somebody trade a $2,000 puppy for a $5,000 tractor, and understand why that deal went down. This guy had a dog. His quote was, it became like part of the family. I am assuming his wife had passed away. He's out there on a farm all by himself. Do you think that tractor is going to fill a void? No. That dog licking him on the ear, that's going to bring joy to his life. That was an easy trade. And it's a win-win trade. It's a win-win trade. He was happy to do it. I want you guys to think about that, trading up. Again, it comes down to positioning, comes down to your compliance dialogue, how you talk to people. This is how you make trades happen. And it's stuff that they just don't teach. I mean, it's just not found anywhere else. So this is going to be the information you guys are going to be getting, and it's badass. And one other thing, wanted to give a shout out. Like I said, early bird list is up. It's on every page. No, you will not be hearing from me. I am not interested in spamming you with emails. I will not do it. The only reason it's up there is legally I'm supposed to put an opt-in to collect names instead of having you all write me, plus I'll lose your email. At that point, when this product is ready to go, you guys will be contacted before it is released to the public, and I can tell you the price is going to be ridiculously low. Original members paid 94. I keep saying 297. I think it was 294. It was 97 and then 197 a week later. So, yeah, 294. You guys are going to be paying ridiculously less, and you're actually going to be getting more. So all I ask in return is that when I do put it out, you guys, if you love it, please tell the people over there you love it, because this is my last product. I'd like to go out in a blaze of glory if I could. Other than that, was awesome. Got a nice feedback today from a real legend in marketing. I lost again one of my best friends, Jim Straw, who is probably the most respected man on the internet who endorsed this product. And it was really cool hearing from Marlon Sanders today. Again, there's just, you know, we're running out of the legends, and he's one of them. And that was just like an honor having him up there posting on the thread. So I appreciate all the feedback we're getting. We took basically something that my former partners just decided to let tank, and that was okay. No bitterness. And in 14 days or so, we have actually taken something that didn't even have an Alexa ranking, and it's just getting massive traffic right now. It's incredible, and I thank everybody. So I want you guys to think about some of this stuff I was talking about. When you see these stories about trading up, it is doable, and it's not just one in a million, and it's not, you know, the guy who traded the paperclip for the house. I don't use that example, by the way, because that was media-driven. Yes, a guy did really trade a red paperclip for a house. That's a true story. But the reason I don't get into that is because it was more of a publicity-type stunt, and all along the way the media was covering it. I don't really consider that a legitimate thing that's reality in the real world. And I certainly am not going to tell you guys you could go do the same thing. However, doing these type of deals like I just discussed from Barter Kings, and thank you, Marlon. That's a good idea. I will contact their agent and see if we can get an interview with those guys if possible. I know they're pretty jammed up for the course. I will attempt to do it. I'm not making promises on that, because if I do it, I have to do it here within the next week or 10 days. But I will give it a shot. Guys, thank you very much. Check in every day. I mean, I'm putting up, you know, the best stuff I can put up for you. It's not just, you know, and again, when you guys see the price on this thing, you're going to just choke. I mean, I've already had people just tell me I'm insane, but it is my last product. And, you know, after that, it's coaching, it's speaking, it's just doing other things. Internet marketing is just not for many. There's some good marketers out there, but it's just become a real mean and dirty business, I think, and there's just too many people selling shit they don't do themselves. I got an issue with that. I'm just not interested in being a part of it. As always, may you live to see the dawn. May all your dreams come true. May you always remain forever young. And as always, stay legendary. I'll be back at you tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Good night. God bless.